are coming to you with the unspoken words. This is the Red Robe Perspective.
With humility, experience, reflection, and that unique style of indigenous humor, we discuss the issues that affect our mind, body, spirit, and emotional well-being as natives in recovery.
Sobriety, community, accountability, transparency, and service work.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Everybody, grab a seat, man. I was waiting to some reggae there. That's my bad, man. No, brand new to this on the controls. My name is Josiah Hugs. I'm a member of the Crow Tribe and road member, 7/8 actually, and from Arrow Creek District and the Crow Reservation. Go ahead, boys, introduce yourselves.
I'm Randy Bedlam-Watt from Lots Grass, Montana, 7/8 Crow. A little bit of technical difficulties there to start off the podcast.
Our producer. He's learning on the fly.
Greenhorn over here. My name is J.C. Beaumont. I am Abzalaga in Nakota from Pryor, Montana, and I guess by association, Fort Belknap, Montana.
All right. Thank you, boys, for joining me, man. This is awesome. So this is the Unspoken Words, the very first podcast we're recording here at Billings First Church in Billings, Montana. Downtown Billings, we're right here, right where it all went down when the city was first being established. And today, we just really wanted to just kind of share our vision, our individual visions, our own kind of individual goals, I guess, and kind of where we're coming from. And I'll start this thing off with, like, it's like a recovery podcast, kind of like an urban guide for natives. We're going to cover all kinds of different issues from commodity cheese to, you know, political race.
Let's do that one first.
Yeah, maybe that's next week. So I don't know, man. You know, election's hot topic right now. But so we're going to cover all kinds of topics just from, you know, our commute to our daily interactions. And when I got into recovery, it was because of other individuals sharing their experience, strength, and hope with me when I was in detox, when I was in treatment, when I first got out of treatment, other people that were walking the Red Road, that were in recovery, willing to come alongside of me and walk with me, that really gave me hope, and they wore their recovery on their sleeve, and I was just like, wow, that's what I want to do. That's what I aspire to do. And you know, I've been in recovery for 5 years and some change now, and it's like I still wear my recovery on my sleeve because of how those individuals wore. And you know, I just see this as another outlet for that, to reach a lot more people, a lot more natives, a lot more people that are struggling with their addiction, people that are in the, in recovery, people that are, you know, in and out of the rooms, keep relapsing. You know, those are my people. And it don't even matter that what shade of color of skin you are. If you're battling addiction, man, you're my peeps, man. You're my people. And, you know, hopefully what we talk about here inspires that. And, you know, how this all came about, even that, you know, Creator God opened up those doors for me to walk through and bring these two amazing, awesome individuals into my life to do this. This is my second shot at a podcast, and it's finally happening, and it's awesome. It's amazing, you know, and all glory and praise goes to Creator God, for sure. Gets all the glory and praise, and that, you know, that's my focus, is to help and with the guidance of Creator God in my life. And with that, I'll pass the mic.
Okay, thanks. Well, I like all that, man. I agree with that. And just in case anybody might recognize our voices, you might have seen us on YouTube, a YouTube channel where we discuss daily meditations. But for me, this is a little bit different, you know, this podcast, because I think it gives us an opportunity to discuss a lot of relevant topics that affect us as indigenous people, you know, our mental, emotional, spiritual, and our physical health. And there's so much to that goes with it, you know, because in the absence of, you were talking about, you know, recovery and things like that, but in the absence of drugs and alcohol, there is still life to deal with. And there's just so many things that affect us that are out there. And so for me, I think this is a good opportunity to use our personal insight. Of course, you know, that Indian humor. We can research a lot of stuff and just open conversations about, for me, I'd say, what the hell is that? Did you open a pop?
I don't know. Sounded like that was Josiah's phone.
Sounds like
he's over there
surfing on the web.
I can't hear you.
Over there surfing the web. But anyway, just to open these conversations, and I say we talk about everything from history and current events, politics, pop culture, sports, movies, music, health and wellness. I mean, the list can go on and on because contrary to what a lot of non-native people believe, you know, we are a part of this 21st century world. And we have our views, we have our opinions, we have our place in this, on this planet that was given to us by the Creator. So I think we have a lot to, as indigenous people everywhere, I think we have a lot to offer as far as our perspectives. And of course, you know, with me and my personality, it's a little bit goofy, so you're gonna, I like to smile in the face of adversity, you know. But
excuse me.
And I think it's also important to mention that, you know, we'd be willing to take and accept feedback, suggestions, ideas, and constructive criticism from anybody out there listening, because, you know, I think the listener are the most important part of this project, this podcast, because without you, you know, we're basically just talking to each other like we always do. But so, you know, we also need to, I think it goes into saying that we would also promote, encourage, and support positive native objectives and ideas and people that are doing good things. And I'll leave it at that for now. I better let Randy take over for a second, because if everybody knows, if I start talking, I'll never shut up. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Like I said, I'm Randy Berenwalk, and I guess I really, it's kind of been on my heart to start a podcast, to really speak, not necessarily for anything, but just really find out the direction, you know what I mean? Like, the direction, because I think podcasts these days are freaking awesome. I think they're amazing. I think it's a great way to connect with people that you would not really connect with on a regular, like, you know what I mean? Like running into them in the store, running into them at a stoplight or whatever. But but I believe
at a stoplight.
Like, you know what I mean, though? Like,
sign language.
Yeah.
Roll down your window and say,
roll your window down. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man. Yoda. I've been sober for 5+ years. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But it's really like a genuine way to connect with people. You know what I mean? And that's really why I want to be a part of this podcast, is to really see where it goes and to really share my views, my perspective on this life, this sobriety, this lifestyle of sobriety. Realizing that it's not all, you know what I mean? Like, there's more to it. Like, we get free from the drugs, we get free from the alcohol, but we really don't know how to deal with life the way, you know what I mean, in a healthy way. So I feel like this is a good way to connect with people, connect with a wider audience, get it out there for the people. For the people, by the people. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Not that sacred, but.
Vying for tribal chairman. Election on Saturday.
Tribal chairman, write me in. No, I'm just kidding.
And I approve this message.
Whatever.
Right? What?
OMG.
But yeah, that's really all. You know what I mean? Like, really, like, I guess what I want to get across is, like, sobriety really isn't boring. Like, because you start to learn how to be a productive member of society. You know what I mean? Like, for me, I was always taking from, you know, like, seeing what I could get, seeing what I, how I could get high, seeing how I could get drunk, seeing how, like, all this. But then, like, five years and some change down the road, man, I'm like, dang, like, I'm in a process of building. You understand? Like, and there have been times, like, where I wanted to give up, but then it's like, man, I can't because I've already came too far. Like, when I look back, I'm like, man, like, it won't make no sense for me to go back. Mm. What I've been building now, so.
I like that. I like that idea, too, that you mentioned, is that it's not boring. Yeah. In fact, I think I'm probably crazier now than I was when I was at least a little more vocal about it. You know what I mean? It's just because it's fun. I mean, life is just more fun without all that, because it's just, you know, the depressants and the highs and the lows. And then there's this, for me, there was always this constant, all these constant negative feelings that I didn't like, especially dealing with, you know, self-esteem, self-worth, and, you know, my confidence in a lot of things. But I like the fact that it can be fun.
No, I appreciate, man. I thank you guys for, you know, sharing from the heart and sharing your kind of why you're here. Because, you know, like I was saying, like, you know, our paths cross. You know, we were able to keep our side of the street clean long enough for our paths to cross. And, you know, I'm forever grateful to Creator God for that, because you guys enrich my walk, you know, along with, you know, a bunch of other people that have come into my life that, you know, we definitely don't do this alone. We do not do recovery alone. You know, we can't be an island. If we isolate and all that, man, we're going to go back eventually. And I see that, you know, I don't want to run the show. People that want to run the show, they always go back out, you know, always, every time. And I'm just like, yo, you know, you got to quit with running the show. And, you know, one thing that's really been on my mind lately is, like, you know, the relapse. You know, we see a lot of relapse. You know, I know in my 5 years and some change, there's been a lot of relapse around me, not me personally relapsing and using again, but I've seen it a lot around me. And it's just a constant reminder that could easily be me. That could easily be me. And it's just something that, you know, just is just constant going on. And, like, there's just some people that don't get it, and it's frustrating. And, you know, there's some people that pass away from their addiction, and, you know, I remember them, you know, that, you know, at least they had some, you know, some recovery. They were able to attain some recovery, and then, you know, ultimately the addiction took them out, and it's a sad thing. And I just wanted to kind of bring that up tonight and just kind of get you guys' take on that, because I know you guys, both of you guys have probably seen a lot of relapse, too.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, in the past, I was the one that relapsed. I'd get 15 months here, maybe 6 months there. But for the most part, I just had it in my mind that I would go back. And you were talking about, you know, how our paths cross and everything that's led up to this moment. And I'm just a firm believer in the power of prayer, and that I think this is just the answer to some of my prayers, to a lot of my prayers, that you guys came into my life and that you're here and we're doing this. And, you know, I think this is just the tip of the iceberg, but I know that it would be easy for me to go out.
Excuse me, sir.
Wow, that was kind of loud.
Echoing.
You got the COVID. Scoot over a little bit.
Scoot back.
Anyway, but I know that if I was to go out, it would be easy for me to, you know, start right back on that road. And I don't get to start over and say I can handle it. No, I think I just go back to right where I was, and that was just on the road to probably an early death. And so for me, that line is pretty thin. But I also think that just, you know, being here with you guys and doing things like this little project, you know, and all the other things that we got going on, that's a big help for me. But at the same time, I was always afraid, you know, what are people going to say? Are they going to judge me? Because one of the biggest problems that we have is that is that crab pot mentality. Mm. You know, when we talked about this before. And then there's also another thing too that I came across was tall poppy syndrome. Mm. So, you know, when one of the poppies gets taller than the other ones, they cut it down. And so I was always afraid of that. I mean, it's a real thing. But as far as relapse, you know, I've seen it, and I've seen people not come back from it. And I think one of the other things too about relapse is, not only am I hurting myself, I mean, just based on my past, I know that I'm not only hurting myself, I'm hurting those around me, I'm hurting my community, I'm hurting my people as a whole. So that relapse, that being caught in that addiction again, doesn't just affect me, it affects other people. And I could very well just as easily go out and hurt somebody permanently, in more ways than, you know, just physical. So, and I'm done with all that.
I think it's kind of crazy, man, like hearing your guys' perspective on relapse and kind of realizing like the position that you used to play here. You know what I mean? Like downtown, like I'm sure that you've seen a lot in these past five plus years. And you as well, like, because I'm kind of like that too. Like, I think it's heartbreaking, like, when people around me fall back into what they've been set free from. Because I think, like, man, you're taking your time and your energy and you're basically pouring into this person's life because you see the potential that they have when they're sober. You know what I mean? Like, you see the decisions that they make. You see how intelligent they are. You see, like, the moves that they make, and they're positive. But because they've allowed circumstances in their life to leave them in a place where they remain hopeless, it's easier to go back to what you were set free from. You know, like, and then when I think about my perspective, I'm like, man, like, every time that I relapsed, it was because I was either pissed off, or I allowed my emotions to overcome what I knew was right. I allowed my emotions to overcome my logic, like the way that I thought, what's right, what's wrong. And because I felt a certain way, without thinking, I would take that dope or that alcohol. And then after I tried it once, I'd be like, oh man, F this, I already did this. So I'm going to go basically balls to the wall, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to get after it, like, I'm going to go, and then next thing you know, like, or even, like, with alcohol, it'd be like, oh, I can take a couple drinks of alcohol just to kind of chill. Mm. And then, you know, first night's like a tall can.
Yeah.
Second night's like about two of them, you know. Then pretty soon you start feeling like a good buzz, like, before you know it, man, you're starting to get blacked out, blank stage, you know what I mean?
And then the honeymoon's over.
Huh? Yeah, then it's like, man, I already did this, and one night you have too much. Then I wake up the next day, and I'm like, man, who did I wrong? What did I do? What, you know what I mean? Like, all these thoughts in your head, and you're like, I don't want to face it, so I go and grab another drink.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, before you know it, man, you're karaoke-ing at Crystal Mountain.
Going live on Facebook, making a fool of yourself.
Yeah, I'd carry at Crystal, Lounge if I was sober, so.
Yeah. It was a karaoke there.
But I think, like I said, man, back on the relapse tip, like, it's heartbreaking when either myself or the person that I've been basically walking alongside, because I'm like, man, like, you know, I'm like, man, that could have been awesome had you made a positive decision. Yeah. So,
and I think, like, for me, you know, I brought that up because, like, I see it so much, you know. That's why, like, when I celebrate my recovery birthday, you know, that's September 9th of every year, I never feel like I'm accomplished. I never let myself be like, I've arrived. I've beaten this thing, you know. I don't ever start thinking like that because I don't want to go back out, because I know myself. Like, if I start thinking like that, I'm like, oh yeah, I can have, you know, a tall can. I can do this and I can do that. But when I see somebody relapse too, as you guys were talking, I was reminded, like, I have to remind myself that I look at myself and I'm like, this time around, walking the Ritter.
That hurt.
This guy just hit his head on the table. That hurt. This guy, bad word, he's a skip.
Hey, skip. How do you do that? The table's way down there.
Not on the first episode, guys. Come on. All right.
Anyways, back to my point. Yeah. You know, I have to remind myself, like, this time around, like, walking the Red Road in recovery this time, this was probably, like, my 100th time. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, from when I started drinking heavy, you know, right after high school until, you know, when I finally did the deal when I was 32. Like, it was definitely the 100th time. Like, I was like, okay, this time, you know. And I, you know, when I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I hit my rock bottom, and I was like, okay. All right, God. Something's got to give. You know, I tried it my way all these years. No, I'm going to try it your way. And I surrendered. And, you know, that just like a very simple thing that I just keep doing, you know, keep reminding myself that I'm not in control and that I'm not running the show, that my higher power is. And, you know, that simple thing right there has brought me this far. And so, but to go back to, you know, maybe this next one, maybe this next time this person sobers up is going to be it. And I'm going to continue to be here. They know where I'm at. You know, they know what I do. And if they want to come and walk with me, cool. But I'm not going to be super Save-A-Ho and go out there and try to, come on, come with me.
Just come on, sober up.
Sober up, please. Yeah. Just sober up. You know, I'm not going to do that.
I think that's what a lot of them, I feel like a lot of, like, people that I've come across expected me to basically kind of stop them, but that's not healthy in a way either. Like, you understand, like, what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
When somebody I usually know, like, when a person relapses, or like, I shouldn't say that I know, but when they stop
when they ghost you,
yeah. When they stop answering your phone calls, your text messages, you know what I mean? They are a big telltale sign is like when they disappear from Facebook. You know, because usually sober people post a lot for most of the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, we always on there clowning.
We always on there clowning, and then like
we're always on there being something else.
Something else.
6% something else.
And then all of a sudden they fall off the face of the planet.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of funny, but. That used to be me, man. Like, and that's the thing. Like, man, I feel like the stigma is kind of like when you get sober, people think you look at them differently, and it's not. You know what I mean? Like,
what do you mean? You look at people who are still using differently?
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, remember, there's a meme out there that says when your cousin gets sober, and then you're all stuck up, you know. Yeah.
and that brings me back to something I'm always telling Josiah about too is when people ask you, you know, how come you think you're better than me?
Yeah.
The real question should be is, why do you feel like you're less than?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're trying to project they're trying to project their low self-esteem, their low self-worth,
just conviction
and all that other stuff on me, thinking that I'm trying to act better. Self-righteous, sanctimonious, you know, and I'm not. I can't.
JC's always acting bad.
I can't.
He's acting bad because he's sober.
I act bad because I am. But but that's beside the point. No, but for real, you know, I can't judge anybody. I can't look down on anybody. I can't preach to anybody. I don't have the ground to stand on for any of that.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm better than anybody, but I don't think I'm worse either.
And I think that's the thing. It's like, man, like when I look at that, I'm like, man, like I've been in those shoes. I've been that person that's hopeless. Man, I've been that person that everybody turned away from because he continued to make the wrong decision. You know what I mean? Like, and man, that was probably one of the most lonely times of my life. You know, one of the most broken and lonely times of my life is realizing, like, man, I remember, like, the day that I got thrown in on probation violation, I remember leaving my cousin's house in the Heights, And he looked at me. He was cleaning out his house, and he was like, he looked at me, and this is the guy that I always ran to, like, always gave me a place to stay, always put me up, always, you know what I mean, always took care of me. And because I always knew that he was down, like, you know what I mean? He's always somebody that you could share a drink with. And he looked at me that morning when I woke up. He said, Randy, man, you got to make a choice. You can't just keep doing this. And for me, like, he probably doesn't even remember that conversation. But when I walked away, like, I was praying, like, man, like, God, let me change my life. And this was, like, in August of 2014. I ended up getting tossed in on a probation violation that day. Couple hours later.
Well, you know, like I always
answered
say,
prayer.
Like I always say, those prayers are not always answered the way we want. But, you know, Creator knows what he's doing. So
that's what I was saying. Like, man, I remember they, like, we were down over there, and I just seen another cousin of mine. Like, it's crazy because I'm not related to everybody, but these are my actual, like, you know what I mean? Like, relations, and I seen him, and he had some money, so we went and grabbed two bottles, and it was like, dude, like 8 in the morning. And I ended up getting, like, tossed in. But that day I got tossed in, when I woke up that afternoon, like, I knew something changed. I knew something had to change. Like that, and I looked back on it, I'm like, even though I hated being in there, I felt like it was the best thing for me. And even getting resentenced and re-put, like, man, they took away all my time and gave me back 4 years of probation. Dude, I was 60 days away from getting off. I got tossed in August 28th, 2014, and I would have terminated probation October 28th, 2014. But the judge kept me in, allowed me to go to treatment or whatever. I got out and relapsed, and then sent me back out. Like, but then 6 months after I got out, dude, he resentenced me to 4 years. But when I look back on it, like, those were the times, like, I feel like those tough times is like where I finally gave in. And then I realized, like, it's really not something deep or super spiritual, like, for me, like, you know what I mean, it was basically a decision, like, God, like, I want to change, like, I want, like, because that time I had a little girl, like, you know what I mean, excuse me, and I wasn't a part of her life, but just started working on making different decisions there. And dude, we're walking in the fruit of it now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. yeah, you know, like, when I keep seeing, like, individuals going back out, coming back, going back out, like, my sponsor, like, I got a sponsor, like, back in 2012, 2013, and I didn't, you know, start walking the red road and taking it seriously until 2015, and, like, he was one of the, you know, he's passed away now, but he, you know, he died sober and everything. He died in an accident, but that's besides the point. Like, he was, my cousin lived across the way from me, my apartments, and she lived across the street. And, like, she went to him in the summer of 2015 and was like, hey, you better go talk to him. He effed up and he's drinking again. He's drinking like half a G every day. There's like half a G's all over his apartment, and there was. And then, like, what he told her was, like, he ain't done. He ain't gonna quit until he gets, you know, he ends up in the hospital, or he lands in jail from DUI, or he might kill somebody or something like that. You know, that was his mentality. Like, that's what he said about me. And then she came right over that same day and was like, she bawled me out. And then she was like, you know what your sponsor said? And then she told me that, and then I was sitting there, and I got mad. He said that? And she was like, yeah, that's what he said. And I was like, all right, well, I'll show him. And I started calling detox. You know, I started calling detox from that moment. And I went to detox, and I called him, and I said, hey, I just hit the table, too, talking with my hands. Anyway, so, you know, that started me off. You know, that started me off. I went to detox and I got out and I tried to, you know, hook up with him and start working the steps. And he didn't answer my phone call for like 2-3 days. And then I said, F it. And I started drinking again. and then, you know, a month later, went back to detox again and, you know, did the deal. But it was just like that, those words that got me going, you know, like that. He was like,
he probably said that on purpose. Now that I think about it, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Like, he probably said that, you know, like, half to get under my skin, and then, like, probably, like, half believing it, you know, just from knowing him. And that lit a fire to me. And I'm forever grateful for him and his recovery, you know, even though he's passed on now, you know, rest in peace. but, you know, I'm gonna forever remember that, you know, that he... And that's why, you know, I take on that mentality too, like from that experience. It's like, I'm not gonna go out there and be super safe with hope, you know? Because I keep coming across this meme on Facebook, man. I just keep coming across it on social media and stuff. It's like, you know, if you're serious about recovery, you're gonna find a way. Yeah. If you're not, you're gonna find excuses. And I was like, hell yeah, because when I was done and I started walking Red Road, man, I found a way for everything. And I know in one of our discussions before, Randy, you're like you kind of gave up too quick, you know, and you noticed that about yourself. And I was the same way, you know. When I wasn't serious about it, I looked for an opportunity to say F it and be like, ah, I tried, you know, and then just go back out, start partying, drinking and stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, I'd have to say that a lot of that was, I mean, for me, it was fear. Like I said, fear of the unknown. I knew what it was like to be in addiction. I knew what it was like to drink every day and use whenever I could. But I didn't know what it was like to navigate life without that crutch, without that false pick-me-up. And so I guess that was one of the biggest things that I had to overcome. And at the same time, you know, I firmly and strongly believe, like I said, in the power of prayer. And once I, like Josiah said, once I gave up my will to my creator, my higher power, it's uncanny all the things that just sort of started coming to me and showing up at my doorstep. For me, I again, just like so many people that, you know, use and drink and stuff, I ended up in jail and prison. And I remember sitting in the SHU for 11 months, basically in a spot the size of a park, you know, a parking space. And I remember sitting there, and I cried. I was praying, and I started crying, and I don't know how long it was. It could have been 3 days. It could have been 2 days. I know it was more than one. I don't even remember eating. I don't remember really, you know, I slept and stuff, but, like, I really, everything just came out, and I broke down, and I don't mean just sobbing. I mean, I was just racked with tears and pain and so much. Everything just eked out, and then all of a sudden, you know, at the very end of it, something just came to me. And it wasn't, you know, like how you would see, like, this, the skies opened up and somebody said, and go forward and sin no more. You know, it wasn't
no more.
It wasn't like that. It was this voice in my head. And the weird thing was is that I remember that it was my own voice, but it wasn't my words. It wasn't something that I, you know, thought I was consciously thinking, but I basically told myself, it's okay now. You're going to find a way. And relax, I got you. And so from there, man, it's first it started out with like books, you know, that's all I can get my hands on was books. And then from there it went on to people, programs, all these little things started building up, and I started, you know, really, I just jumped right into it. And part of that journey was trying to discover, you know, in that self-discovery, you know, what made me tick, what was in there. Though not just my mind or my body and my spirit, but the whole thing, the whole thing put together. And I started, you know, studying about addiction, or then that kind of threw me into biology, and then you go to neuroscience, and then pretty soon I was studying physics. And I don't know if you ever opened a physics book or, you know, hey, ever tried to understand any of that, but that is some next level stuff, man. It was just wow. So I mean, but it all came together. It was all part of all different pieces of this whole puzzle that I started putting together, and then upon my release, I think at first, you know, I was a little bit hesitant as far as, you know, where do I go from here? I knew what I wanted to do, you know, do things like this and reach out, and I got it. I mean, it was been my goal from day one, since my first day of sobriety, to do whatever I can to help other people, not do something for other people, but help. And so I was kind of hesitant, or not hesitant, but just unsure as to where this would, you know, where I would go. But again, just by saying, you know, just by communing with my higher power, making that connection and saying, okay, I don't know where I'm going, but you do. You know what you have in store for me, and so I give it to you. And I always go back to this, because I think this is one of the biggest obstacles that a lot of people will face, is that there are things that happen and there are things that we have to go through in this process that we're not going to like and that we don't agree with, or, you know, we're afraid to do. And I still experience that to this day. And a prime example of that is I was told by probation and parole, you know, you got to go find a sponsor. You know, you can't just white knuckle it. You got to go out there and you got to go get a sponsor. And I think it was that day or the next day, I went out. I knew exactly where to go. I knew exactly who to talk to. And that was this gentleman over here. And he said, all right, let's do this. And at the time when they were telling me that, I got resentful. I was like, man, how come you know, this is just one way for you guys to try to control me. One more way for you to you know, tell me what to do. You know, and you're not trying to help me, you're just trying to hold me back. But it was the exact opposite of that. I mean, yeah, my sponsor makes me do things that I don't really want to do. Like, okay, we're going to do this. And, oh, okay, well, all right then. So basically challenging me to put myself out there and, you know, because like he's told me before that, you know, I seen something in you, and I knew you were legit, and I knew you could do more, and I knew you were capable. And those were the things that I felt inside, but I was afraid to express them. Yeah. And so by having that guidance in my life, then I'm able to say, okay, well, if this is what is suggested to me, then I'm going to jump in with both feet, whether I'm afraid or not. And so I guess getting back to my original point was, at first I didn't like the idea that they were telling me what to do, but I would have never, maybe I never would have gotten involved with all the things that I've been involved with since then because of that, because of what they told me to do. And so we never really know how things are going to work out, but we just have to have that faith that everything is going to work out for our good, because this guy, he's been nothing but great, awesome. I mean, they're singing now. We did the CCR.
Oh, yeah.
Cross community.
Oh, yeah, we're all part of that. That's like a totally different podcast.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get to that. Yes. Cross community reconciliation.
Creedence Clearwater Revival.
The revival in its fullest. But see, it's things like that. I would have never thought of being involved in something like that. I would have liked to. But maybe I would have never had the opportunity, or I would have never had the moxie to say, okay, I'll go. But yeah. But instead, you know, I just, okay, this is what is suggested to me. See something in me, so I'm gonna do it. And that's the, like, well, we never really know, but we have to get over that fear of the unknown, because all things will work to our good, for our good.
Right on. And game, recognize game, because I see leaders in both you guys, and I know you guys both said that about me, and I don't really see myself as a leader, you know. I'm just, not to brag or anything, you know, I'm just, like, built this way, you know. I'm just doing what, you know, using the gifts that God has given me, and I see that you guys too, man. You guys are leaders, you know, in your own respects, and doing what you guys do, and I appreciate you guys. And I think, you know, that... we'll close with that. We'll, is there any last words before we close here?
Guess what, bitch? Coronavirus! Coronavirus!
Coronavirus.
Coronavirus right there. This guy coughing around.
Then he starts popping
on
cue.
Oh, man.
You better go get that check.
Lord have mercy.
Hey. I'm just kidding. That's not our outro music. But no, I appreciate you guys. And, you know, I look forward to, you know, doing this. And I hope you guys got something out of what was spoken today. Because I definitely did. You know, we're here, we're sharing our experience, strength, and hope, and in hopes that, you know, we spark some hope in you guys out there listening. And we love you guys. Sorry, guys. We believe in you guys. Just keep walking the red road. And with that, you know, it's going to play a little outro music and call it good. Huh? OJC got something to say.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that thank you guys for listening. You guys hear this. You guys are into it. Please share and let everybody know that we're out here. This is just the tip of the iceberg. We're just now getting our feet wet, so hang in there with us, and we'll gladly take your suggestions. And this is going to be fun. We're going to make this fun. We're going to make it enjoyable. And
and with that, we're going to ask, we're calling Superman to take us out.
What a god.
Dude.